डिस्कोर्स अभी इन संयुक्त निकाय खंड संयुक्त कज्जनीय वर्ग द फुल मून नाइट पुण्यम सूत्र ऑन वन ओकेशन द ब्लेस्ड वन वाज ड्वेलिंग एट सावत्ती इन द ईस्टर्न पार्क इन द मेंशन ऑफ मिगार मदर टुगेदर विद अ ग्रेट संघ ऑफ भिक्कुस नाउ ऑन दैट ओकेशन द उपस्थित डे ऑफ द 15th द फुल मून नाइट The Blessed One was sitting out in the open, surrounded by the Sangha of Bhikkhus. Then a certain Bhikkhu rose from his seat, arranged his upper robe over one shoulder, raised his joined hands in reverential salutation towards the Blessed One, and said to him, Venerable Sir, I would ask the Blessed One about a certain point if the Blessed One would grant me the favor of answering my question. Well then, Bhikkhu, sit down in your own seat. And ask whatever you wish. Yes, Venerable Sir, the Bhikkhu replied. Then he sat down in his own seat and said to the Blessed One, On these, the five aggregates subject to clinging. Venerable Sir, that is, the form aggregate subject to clinging, the feeling aggregate subject to clinging, the perception aggregate subject to clinging, the volitional formations aggregate subject to clinging, the consciousness aggregate subject to clinging. So these are the five aggregates. So that they are asking whether. Then Buddha replied, "Those are the five aggregates subject to clinging. That is, the form aggregate subject to clinging, the feeling aggregate subject to clinging, the perception aggregate subject to clinging, the volitional formations aggregate subject to clinging, the consciousness aggregate subject to clinging." Saying, Good Venerable Sir, that Bhikkhu delighted and rejoiced in the Blessed One's statement. Then he asked the Blessed One a further question. But Venerable Sir, in what are these five aggregates subject to clinging rooted? These five aggregates subject to clinging, Bhikkhu, are rooted in desire, chanda. Because of the chanda, the desire, that we have these five aggregates of clinging. Venerable Sir, is that clinging the same as these five aggregate subject to clinging, or is the clinging something apart from the five aggregate subject to clinging? And Buddha replied, Bhikkhu, that clinging is neither the same as the five aggregate subject to clinging, nor is the clinging something apart from the five aggregate subject to clinging, but rather desire and lust for them, that is the clinging there. So that's the question you are asking. It is that there is this five class. Everyone is actually clinging to this five class. The same five. Matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. But it may be that I am clinging to something, but you are not clinging to that. For example, if I get a flower, I might say that I like it. I have a clinging. You might say I don't like it, that particular flower. But there may be another flower that you like, but I don't like. So, but flower is actually a matter, materiality. So it is coming under the class of materiality, but two different people could the two different clinging. So if the class is the same, but the clinging is different. So we all cling to, if someone asks, it is the same matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Nothing apart from that one. So that was the answer. Saying, Good Venerable Sir, that Bhikkhu asked the Blessed One a further question. But, Venerable Sir, can there be diversity in the desire and lust for five aggregates subject to clinging? So, there can be, Bhikkhu, the Blessed One said. Here, Bhikkhu, it occurs to someone, may I have such form in the future? May I have such feeling in the future? May I have such perception in the future? May I have such volitional formations in the future? May I have such consciousness in the future? Thus, Bhikkhu, there can be diversity in the desire and lust for the five aggregate subject to clinging. So one may be thinking, oh, well, let me be born as a divine being. So then there is some sort of a clinging for that form. And another one may be thinking that let me be born as a human being. And there was someone behaving like a cow. So, I mean, I don't know whether that person had a desire, but he was actually thinking that by doing those things, he'll be born in a good world. So, so there are certain desire, depending on the desire. So the diversity of this clinging is there. The Pali word is chandaraga vemantala. Saying, good Venerable Sir, that bhikkhu asked the Blessed One further question. In what way, Venerable Sir, does the designation aggregates apply to the aggregates? Whatever kind of form there is, bhikkhu, whether past, future or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near. So there are 11 things mentioned over there. This is called the form aggregate. Whatever kind of feeling there, whether past, future, present, again there is another 11, same 11, and it is called the feeling aggregate. Whatever kind of perception there is, whether past, future or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, this is called the perception aggregate. Whatever kind of volitional formation there are, whether past, future or present, the same 11 is mentioned, it's called the volitional formations aggregate. Similarly for the consciousness. So you can see there are 11 terms and 11 into 5, there are 55. So if we actually look at this one in a little bit detail, that when you say the past, atita in Pali, and whatever the form that was actually born out, gone, past, that is the past one. And there is this future that is not born, born, not born yet, so that one is there. And then there is this present one, whatever this, the body and whatever thing at the moment. And there is this internal one and the external one. So this my body, over here there is this internal materiality. And over there is this external materiality. So if I take this one, there is this external matter. And then there is this gross, olarika. Gross is that eye base, ear base, all those bases over here, it is actually gross. And if I take subtle one, then this control faculty of femininity, food, space element, you know that the space element, if I exceed this materiality, then I actually pursue something out of this materiality, that space element is included in the subtle thing. That is again form, is a perception born form. And then inferior is that something worthless, you know, that one got rid of, you know, like excreta or something like that one, and it is actually worthless things. People don't sort of think about these. And then superior is, it's not worthless, superior forms. And the far, that means not near. That means again that the control faculty of femininity and food, space element, those are the forms. And then the near one, that eye base, ear base, other material quality, there is near, near to me, and so it is near. So materiality wise, you can actually see how it is and sort of what is this far, near sort of mean. And if you go into feeling, so how do you actually think about feeling, far, near, gross, subtle sort of thing? So if you take the skill state of mind and the unskilled state of the mind, so first if we look at the past, future, present, then we know about the past feeling, present feeling and the future feeling that can arise. And if you think about the gross and subtle sort of scenario, then oh, far or near, you can see the unskilled state of the mind. Think about the two states, unskilled state of the mind and the skilled state of the mind. That unskilled state of the mind is that when you are actually doing bad things like killing, stealing and all those things. And the skilled state of the mind is there where you are doing the, like learning Dhamma and offering dana to monks and sort of the good things, meritorious things when you are doing. So you can see the unskilled state ones are the gross ones. The skilled state ones are good ones, subtle ones. So unskilled state, whatever feeling I have in the unskilled state is far from the feeling that I have in the skilled state. Very, very clear, isn't it? Because that when you are actually giving dana or doing meditation, you can see that your mind is much better. And when you are actually killing animal or something like that one, then your mind is so bad. When you are angry, also bad. So unskilled state is far from the skilled state. So perception, similarly like that one. Volitional formations, consciousness, both are like that. So you can see the actually 55 Dhamma is there. And then saying good venerable sir, that bhikkhu asked the blessed one a further question. What is the cause and condition, venerable sir, for the manifestation of the form aggregate? What is the cause and condition for the manifestation of the feeling aggregate, for the manifestation of perception aggregate, for the manifestation of volitional formation aggregate, for the manifestation of the consciousness aggregate? So this one actually asking about this hetu and paccaya in Pali, cause and condition.
Yeah, this manifestation Pali.
That actually I have not written down. It is actually how it is actually formed. Yeah, the sort of idea over there. Four aggregate, the four great elements, bhikkhu, are the cause and condition for the manifestation of the form aggregate. The four great elements. So four great elements are, there is this element of extension. So you can see that whatever hard in our body, whatever hard in the world, hard and softness, both are due to element of extension. For example, this, you can see this piece of paper extend from here to here. Without the element of extension, it can't extend. And then in the liquid things, you can see that the element of cohesion is there. The cohesion is actually a physics word. It's actually an intermolecular attraction force. So, and then the third one is the element of motion. So you can see that the moving, the air, in the air you can see there is the element of motion more prominent. Both those four elements are together. It's inseparable, they are together. And then there is this heat in the body, you know, warmer rise because of that one. And so those are the four elements. So they are always together, but certain proper things, that one property is more than the other. For example, in the carpet, you can say element of extension is more prominent than the other. There is no water element one can actually see, but there is this water element inside this one, element of cohesion. And then there is motion as well. There is heat as well. So inside body also, we have the same four things. So these four great elements are the cause and condition for the manifestation of the form aggregate. Contact is the cause and condition for the manifestation of the feeling aggregate. That is, this contact over here is that there is this eye, there is a form. So from the eye, we perceive that form. So depending on that two, the eye consciousness arises. So meeting of the three, that is eye, the form and the eye consciousness, is called the contact. So it meets those three. So contact is the meeting of the three. Depending on the contact, feeling arises. Similarly, depending on the contact, perception arises. Depending on the contact, volitional formations arises. So you can see that the materiality, the four great elements, cause and condition for the manifestation of the form, and the contact is for the other three, and the name and form is the cause and condition for the manifestation of the consciousness aggregate, name and form. So when we say name and form, so we actually got the material part covered before, and when we say the name part, that is this, we have the contact, feeling, perception, volition, and the attention, manasikara, attention, that we have got to have the attention to things, you know, here in Dhamma it's also attention, so looking at something, there is this attention. So those five things and this matter is the cause and condition for the arising of the consciousness. For example, we can have the consciousness about this carpet, and then we hear some sort of a sound over there, and then my attention going into that sound, so therefore that I have the ear consciousness. First I had the eye consciousness here, then I have the ear consciousness. So that's the cause and condition. Venerable sir, how does identity view come to be? That is called Sakkaya Ditti in Pali. How does this identity view come to be? Here bhikkhu, the uninstructed worldling, who is not a seer of the noble ones, and is unskilled and undisciplined in their Dhamma, who is not a seer of superior persons, and is unskilled and undisciplined in their Dhamma, regards form as self, or self as possessing form, or form as in self, or self as in form. Similarly, he regards feeling as self, perception as self, original formation as self, consciousness as self, or self as possessing consciousness, or consciousness as in self, or self as in consciousness. That is how identity will come to be. So the first one is actually rupang attato samudpassati, that is form as self. When we actually think about the form as self, it's I will go through a little bit detail on this one. It's like this flame and the color. From the flame we see the color, from the color we see the flame. So we are actually thinking that this one is the same. And the second one is self as possessing form, like the tree has got a shadow, tree possessed of a shadow. And form as in self, like the scent in the flower. So this the flower is the self and the scent is the form. Or else self as in form, like a gem in the casket. The gem is the self, or it is in the casket. So Patisambhita Magga explain this one a little bit better. It is that how does he see self possessed as material? So here someone sees feeling, perception. Sorry, how does he see materiality as self? Here someone sees the earth casino as self. Thus, what the earth casino is, that I am. What I am, that the earth casino. He sees earth casino and self as identical, just as one sees a lighted lamp, a flame and color as identical. What the flame is, that the color is. What the color is, that the flame is. So too, here someone sees both are identical, the color and the flame. And the second one is, how does he possess self, possessed of materiality? Here someone sees, this is myself, but self of mine is possessed of materiality by means of this materiality, means of this body. And thus, self possessed of materiality, just as were there a tree possessed of shade, such that man might say, this is the tree, this is the shade, the tree is one, the shade is another, but this tree is possessed of shadow by means of this shade. And thus, this tree possessed of shade. So there's materiality and then the shadow, then the form and the self possessing. And the third way of regarding is that how does he see materiality in self? Here someone sees feeling, perception, all those first consciousness. He thinks this is myself, but this materiality is in the self. And thus sees materiality in self, just as Vardhya's scented flower, such that man might say, this is the flower and this is the scent. The flower is one and the scent another, but the scent is in this flower. And that's how he actually see that it is actually materiality in self. And the fourth one is, how does he see the self in materiality? Here someone sees feeling, perception, volitional formation, consciousness as self. He thinks this is myself, but the self of mine is in this materiality. So just as were there a gem placed in a casket, such that a man might say, this is the gem, this is the casket. The gem is one and the casket another, but the gem is in this casket. So it is belonging to this thing. So that's how we actually perceive. So we perceive, we do all four.
But it is one of the hardest part to understand, because if identity you understand somebody, he is achieving the first
He becomes stream mentor.
So this, as we can see, it is really difficult even though it isn't into that one. But our objective should be understanding that
one. One would reach to that one. We are coming to that one little by little, and Buddha is saying how we can actually get rid of this thing. But Venerable Sir, how does identity view not come to be? Here Bhikkhu, the instructed noble disciple, who is seer of the noble one, and his skill and discipline in their Dhamma, who is seer of superior persons, and his skill and discipline in their Dhamma, does not regard form as self, or self as possessing form, or form as in self, or self as in form. He does not regard feeling, perception, all those things. He is not taking any of those things as possessing as self. But venerable sir, is the gratification, the danger, and the escape in the case of form? What is the gratification, danger, and escape in the case of feeling? So similarly, perception, volitional formation, and consciousness. The pleasure and joy, bhikkhu, that arise in dependence on form, this is the gratification in form. So when we see something, a flower or something beautiful, therefore there is some gratification. Actually, it is constructed by our mind, because having perceived it before, we are actually coming to the thing that I am happy about this flower. But the same two different persons can behave differently. So you can see it is it's a one good example is the hair of the body. You know, some people like the hair, you know, too much, it is beautiful and so on. But the same hair, let's say in the plate that you are eating, so what's the perception one would get? All of a sudden there is this, you know, maybe angry feeling and throwing it out, you know. Well, if this one was so beautiful and nice, how would we get that sort of a wrong perception in that way? So either this one is wrong or that one is wrong. If that one is right, this one can't be right. So that means there is this, the way that we perceive, there is some problem with it. So the satisfaction, the gratification is actually constructed by your own mind. So we perceive that whenever there is this, depending on the form, when there is a pleasure and joy, we have satisfaction. That form is impermanent, suffering and subject to change. This is the danger in form. So whatever the form is, there is this impermanent nature of that thing. So that one is the danger. The removal and abandonment of desire and lust for form, this is the escape from form. The pleasure and joy that arise depending on feeling and depending on perception, dependence on volitional formation, dependence on consciousness, this is the gratification in consciousness. That consciousness is impermanent, suffering and subject to change. This is the danger in consciousness. The removal and abandonment of desire and lust for consciousness, this is the escape from consciousness. There is no other escape. One has to give up the desire and attachment for this form, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Saying good, venerable sir, that bhikkhu delighted and rejoiced in the blessed one's statement, then he asked the blessed one a further question. Venerable sir, how should one know, how should one see that in regard to this body, with consciousness and regard to all external signs, eye-making, mind-making, and the underlying tendency to conceive no longer occur within? It's a beautiful statement over there, asking this Buddha. It's called Ahinkara Maminkara, Manuse in Pali.
I making is Ahinkara.
And then the my making is Maminkara. So how this one, I will first go through the little bit about it. This is very interesting. We need to understand what it actually means. First we look at the eye making. What is this eye making is? You see, this eye making is actually happening. The footing for eye making is the inequality in existence and in property is a footing for eye making. Inequality in existence and in property. You see that there is this inequality in existence. Some people are beautiful. Some people are not so beautiful. So that is the inequality in existence. With that existence, aren't some people becoming proud? And then Sinhala, it is called Ahankara. And becoming proud and sort of thing. So for example, beautiful young girl, because of the beauty, become very arrogant and sort of thing. And so why is it? Because that person is actually perceiving about the own appearance, the body. Having perceived that body is such and such, and then there is this arrogance coming out of it. So because of that, we are actually making this, which is called eye making. And that actually leads into the perception of self, Atma Sanya. So the perception of self has a characteristic of approaching Dhamma. Dhamma over here is the perception and volition itself. So what happened? That there was this body. Because of the body, one would actually become proud or arrogant about that one. Because of that one, the view comes to exist, that this is called perception of self. Atta Sanya is actually arising. The characteristic of that Atta Sanya, the perception of self, is this approaching Dhamma. Dhamma is perception and volition. So that, what was that volition? Because I have that person becoming beautiful or something, you know, sort of scenario, that because of the karma they have done before. So then you can see, because of that, we got into the identity view, that, you know, the self view, and that one actually has the characteristic of going back to the same thing, same base, that I became like this because of that, so I am going back to my perceptions and volitions. There's no escape over there.
That see, is happening without knowing by that
person. Without knowing. That person, without knowing, without thinking. That person, having done some good things in the past, got the beauty. Having got the beauty, become arrogant and got the identity view. Having got the identity view, still going back to the same thing, same volition that happened before, and the perception. So it's going through the circle of this thing again over there.
Then somebody can think that, yes, if she is having same beauty again and again, it is not a bad thing.
No, but it's a bad thing is that you get the, you are being born again. That's the bad
not
thing.
Only that, and the old age, no yes. Beauty lasts over the old age. Yes. When the 90, 80 comes in, you know, the wrinkling of the body, and then they have a big suffering.
Plastic surgery.
Well, yeah, then the nose falling out, all those things also happen. So, not only that. So, here there are two wordings. Inequality in existence and in property. Because we have done some meritorious deeds, you know, we got certain things. So, for example, someone might have got a Benz car. Someone might have got a very, you know, shoddy car, right? So, the person who actually have done something before, got a rich, something richness, because of that one, oh, I got this, you know, this thing, that person is going on that one. So he is actually becoming, I making again, you know, that is, this is that I am, is actually, what was it, some sort of metal over there, metal and rubber, right? So he's making this thing again, and now this one is going back to the same thing again, the same volition and the perception. How I got it? Well, he is knowing more, you know, that if he knows how to get that one, he might give dana and, you know, those this meritorious deeds and sort of thing. I want to have it next time as well. Some people, actually, I know some meditating person also sometimes think that I am poor because I haven't given these things before. So I want to be rich next time, so I'm giving. You know, I have met some people like that. So it is happening, right? It is happening. So is there escape over here? Because having got something, we really go back to the same thing again, right?
That explains the existence.
This is the property. Yeah, the existence is actually the body and things.
Yeah.
And then the materiality things that you got, your house, your properties and all those things. And here you can see the word is inequality of these things. If they are equal, what you got is the same as mine, then you can't actually have that thought. Because of the inequality, people get this thought. Having got it, we go back to the same thing, you know, looping back to the same thing. So that is called I-making. And then the next one is the my-making. This is another bad thing. It is actually appropriation of external objects is a footing for my-making. Appropriation of external object is a footing for mind making, and that mind making actually lead into the perception of pleasure. So let's repeat it again. Appropriation of external object is a footing for mind making, and the mind making is a footing for perception of pleasure. So if you look at the English definition, for appropriation, it is the deliberate act of acquisition of something, often without the permission of the owner. Often without the permission of the owner. So, external objects. I will take a good example over here. Maybe you are going on a walk and a beautiful woman is passing by. By that time, that particular person has got this appropriation of that external object. What was beautiful? Often without a permission. That person may not even want you to look at that particular person's body. Right? So, appropriation of external object without, often without a permission. And then it lead into the, it is the fooding for the mind making. So this is mind. This particular thing is mind that he's actually making in his mind. The pleasure is mind. Some people actually explain this one, express this one as a pleasure is mind. So when you do have that one, then there is this perception of pleasure. Now the perception of pleasure has the characteristic of approaching contact affected by taste. Approaching contact affected by taints. Taints is this astrava in Pali. So, having perceived these things before, we got into our mind. Having got it now that this is pleasurable and so on, now this one is going back to that same thing again. Same contact. Because that person I said was actually passing by. That person is now gone. I'm going in this way. What was the contact? The meeting of the three. So this particular contact, with the pleasure, we go back to the same thing again. So we are, when you are doing the shopping, window shopping or whatever thing, so clothes somewhere in that, you know, the glass thing. You are passing by, it's not there, maybe the head is sort of turning in that way. But after passing away also, it's going back to the same contact. So the contact, the characteristic of contact is meeting these things together. Now the form is gone, now the mind. Mind comes to the play and mind is now making the contact about the form that you have seen. And that I and the form, I consciousness, like that mind and the Dhamma. So there is this consciousness about it. So there's the meeting of that three. So you can see there is no escape over here either. Because having seen that one, we would carry out the whole sequence again and again. So it is happening for everything. But basically, people are not aware of this happening. You see, unless you have this something called Vijnana Sthiti Jnana, that is this consciousness, you are aware, my consciousness is now holding to this one. It doesn't take that much time. In a second, not even a second. So all these things happen. And so we are back to the square one again, what we have seen. So that's why the Indriya Samvara, the restraining of the faculty, is the escape out of this one. So if you have to close your eyes, then you have not seen that person and or think that what we are talking about. So then there is no coming back to that one. So just to repeat this one, appropriation of external objects is a fooding for mind making. Then this particular voting of my making leads to the perception of pleasure. It is the my making is the voting for the perception of pleasure. And inequality in existence and in property is a voting for I making. And the I making is a voting for perception of self. So if you think that you are actually proud or arrogant about something, give it up. Because that's the worst scenario. You see, the identity view come to arise. That identity view is the one that actually makes you go in samsara, birth to birth, never can give up. So that's a very, very big thing over here. Now, Buddha answered that the question is now how one should know, one should see in regard to this body with consciousness in regard to all external signs, I making, mind making, and the underlying tendency to conceive no longer occur. How it is? So Buddha said, any kind of form, whatsoever bhikkhu, whether past, future or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, one sees all form as it really is with correct wisdom. Thus, this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. So that statement actually need a thorough analysis. You see, what Buddha said is that this is not mine, this is this I am not, this is not myself. If you can see that one, then you actually this idea of this I making, all those things are not occurring. How is it so? You see, if you know things are impermanent, then you know that impermanent things are actually subject to suffering. Whatever thing, if you take a flower, and you can see if you are clinging to that one, in the afternoon you get withered. So you can see the impermanent nature, therefore is not self. But taking this on a little bit further, the impermanent nature is not just that flower get withered sort of thing. It is a very, very minute sign in that one. The impermanent, while Buddha asks us to contemplate about the impermanent, is we need to look at the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena of that one. So the arising phenomena is that basically one seeks delight in this form. We welcome it. We remain whole into it. Because of that one, this delighting form arises. And the delighting form as a condition, there is this clinging. There's clinging as a condition, there's existence. The existence of the very same craving. Because of the existence, there is this birth. So the form comes to arise. And the passing away phenomena is one does not seek. It's the reverse of that one. One does not seek delighting form, does not welcome it, does not remain whole into it. It is like this, you see that when we are seeking delight, we are saying that there's a TV. So I seek delight means I go there and switch it on. And then there's pictures are moving. Then I would say, well, this is really nice. So we call others as well, you know, that there's a nice picture going on. So we welcome it. We are welcoming and telling the others as well. And remain holding means that the next week also same time, 7:30 or whatever time, go there and switch it on. So you can see we are actually repeating this thing. So aren't we actually getting the pleasure because of this sequence of actions? The picture is there, so I'm happy and sort of thing. So by doing that one, by seeking delight in this thing, welcoming it, remaining whole into it, I actually accumulated these things. And by the time of the death also, since I am happy about these things, I am not letting it go. I am actually holding. I want to be born in the human world. You know, that sort of thing, because I am actually holding. So the other way around is, one does not seek delight in form. I'm not going to switch on the TV. This is one example. And I'm not going to welcome it. I'm not going to, even I'm not watching, I'm not going to tell the others, you know, that there is a program or sort of thing. I'm not saying that one. And I'm not going to remain holding it. That means I'm not going to, in the next week, 7:30, I'm not going to do that one either. So I'm actually giving up the whole thing. So there's no pleasure. Since there's no pleasure, I'm not clinging to that one. Since there's no clinging, there's nothing I'm holding as mine. Since I'm not holding anything as mine, I won't be born because I don't want anything. I'm not clinging to anything in the world. So this is one. This is a part of the impermanent. The impermanent is not yet complete in that sense. So you can see the Buddha answers to observe the impermanence nature in five ways. One is actually looking at this arising phenomenon. The other one is actually the arising phenomena in terms of because of the ignorance that we have. Why do we actually go there and switch on that TV thing? Because there's this ignorance within us that thinking that this one is pleasurable. If we know that it is suffering, we are not going to switch it on. So ignorance as a condition, there is this arising of the form. And there is this kamma, that is this volitional formations as a condition, there is this the arising of the same form and feeling. And because of the nutriment, the edible food, and our body is sustained with the edible food, because of the nutriment, there is this arising of the form. And then you can see when something arises, we see that it has arisen like the birth of a child. But until that child is born, we do not know that it has arisen. So after the birth, we know that it has arisen. So we can see the arising phenomena. So these five ways we have to see that one. So when you see this impermanent nature, this is how it arises, this is how it passes away. And then you actually see the suffering part of it. Because of this phenomena, it is arising. And I am not making it, it is actually this process. And then therefore, you can see whatever thing constructed is subject to passing away. So having seen that one is happening, passing away. So it is suffering. If it is suffering, should we be taking that one as money? For example, the people who are taking drugs, you know, they inject that one. And by the time they took that drug, they are happy. And then with the cessation of this, you know, the power of the drug, they are really unhappy. And if they know that this one is actually leading to the suffering, they are not taking it. So, likewise, if we know whatever thing that are pleasurable in the world is the one actually creating the suffering for us, then we would not actually seek delight in those things. So, therefore, we are not taking that one as self. So, Buddha explained, so if someone actually say in this way that it is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself, then this whole thing is gone. And the Pali word over there is yathābhūtaṁ sammā paññāya passati. And he actually knows with the correct wisdom. And similarly, any kind of feeling, any kind of perception whatsoever, this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. When one knows and sees thus, bhikkhu, then in regard to this body with consciousness and in regard to all external signs, eye-making, mind-making and the underlying tendency to conceit no longer occur with him. Now on that occasion, the following reflection arose in the mind of a certain bhikkhu. So it seems that form is not non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, volitional formations are non-self, consciousness is non-self. What self then will deed done by what is non-self effect? So who is doing this thing? I mean, everything is not self. Who is doing this these things? Who is doing these deeds? You know, eating, all those things. So Buddha knew that one from this reflection from his mind. And then Buddha addressed that it is possible because that someone, senseless man here, obtuse and ignorant with his mind dominated by craving, might think that he can outstrip the teacher's teaching. Thus, so it seems that form is non-self, consciousness is non-self. What self then will deed done by what is non-self effect? Now, Bhikkhu, you have been trained by me through interrogation here and there in regard to diverse teaching. What do you think, Bhikkhu? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent and self. Is feeling permanent or impermanent? A perception, volitional formation and consciousness, are they impermanent? Impermanent, sir. Is what is impermanent suffering or happiness? Suffering, venerable sir. Is what is impermanent suffering and subject to change fit to be regarded thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, venerable sir. You see that what the monk was actually thinking at that time, he's thinking that there must be some person here that doing all those things. But Buddha is saying, is these all these things are actually conditionally arising. Like that we switch on the TV, so TV doesn't switch on its own. We go there and switch on ourselves. By doing these actions, there is this arising phenomenon. And then we stop it, there is a cessation. The whole thing will cease. So there is no someone over here as it is. It is this, when we have the five aggregates of clinging, so that's this, we actually perceive that there is sort of a self. And this actually has arisen. That is the main thing. This has actually arisen. It's not somebody made this one. It is this sequence of actions that we do. You know, our volitional formation, form and refine and made us over here. And it is us individually by reversing the process, that is by not seeking delight in these things, not welcoming, not remain whole into it, we will end it. Otherwise, well, we will go through this samsara from birth to birth, that there is nobody has to fear about that one, that this existence, one will have the existence always, whether, you know, sort of, unless one put much effort striving to get rid of this one, we go from birth to birth. And each time we are suffering, one would actually might think, oh, well, why is it that, I mean, I got a good place now, I got a good job, I got a money, I got a car, all those things, I got my family, I am happy. Well, all these things are fine for few years, few months, few seconds sometimes, you know, then something will happen. A tsunami comes in, and flood comes in, earthquakes, and sickness. All those things. Sickness. Someone, wife pass away, husband pass away, or something. Or cancer, all sort of things. So that is things that are visible over here. The bad part is that this one is very unstable. Very rare occasion, very rare chance we got a human body. And most of the beings be born in the hell. Animal realm and departed. So over there, live for eons, many, many, long, long time, suffering ever. So this is that by much effort, much meritorious deeds, we come over here and we are sort of okay for the moment. But how come it is actually when the 2500 years has been passed now, and in the future, you can see that the danger. There is no Buddha, there is no one to protect, you know, that there is no Dhamma. And then hell is the place. So that's the bad part. If you are not actually going to any other worlds, you know, hell, animal realm and all those things, probably people can sort of tolerate this human existence to a certain thing, with this aging and sort of thing. But this is not stable. And then this earth is not stable either. You know, there are eons that these many eons of contractions, many eons of distractions. Well, there will be time, there will be seven suns born and then is burning the whole earth, sort of scenario. So, and that's why we have to put effort and get out when we can. Otherwise, you know, and when you actually see that, you know, previous one you were talking about the I making and my making. And if you understand that process, then you would actually think, why would I do this? For what purpose? You know, having done something, I got this thing now, and then I am proud and sort of thing, and that leads to this I-making scenario, and then I'm going back to the same volition. I'm going after the same thing I actually have done and achieved before, and there's no ending. So keep on circling like the dog tied it to a pole. When it's going around that particular pole. When it's sitting down, it's sitting down near the pole. When you eat, it eats nearby that one. So like that one, we all do all those things close to this five aggregates of thinking. Nothing apart from that. So there are variations. So one would be satisfied and happy for few minutes, few years or few seconds. Some people even don't have that one. And so what purpose? What value?
For us, I think it becomes a habit because we can't get rid of those feelings because we are used to.
Yeah, okay, that's a good thing. It is actually what is called the view. Okay, so there are four perversions. The perversion that the fair in the ugly or the foul things. And there is this perversion that there is this the pleasure in the suffering. And there is this perversion that there is this the self in the not self. And then there is perversion that there is this permanent in the impermanent. So there are three things in that one. First we do have the perception, and then we do have the thought, and the third one is actually the view. What you are talking about, the view. When it comes to the view, we tolerate. That's what you are saying. We used to it, we tolerate. We know that this one is suffering, but we tolerate that suffering. We accept that suffering. What Buddha has shown, you don't have to be like that. Buddha has shown, you don't have to tolerate that this suffering, just accept the suffering and, you know, there is an escape, there is Nibbana, much pleasurable, happy Nibbana. So, impermanent, people see certain things are impermanent, okay, this carpet is going to worn out. Oh, then they actually, we accept that one, we buy another one and put it over here. And the same thing happened to the same thing. So, it is called the tolerance, tolerating this one. We accommodate that one. So it has gone, first you have the perception, and then the thought, and the worst one is the view. View has grown up to the toleration level that we tolerate this all those things. And if you look at the food, for example, we love food, right? We accept that one. But if you think what is going to happen to the food after eating, then, you know, then not knowing that, not thinking about that. We have been tolerating. Now, if you read, then you can see that the smell coming out of your mouth is also it's bad in that sense, you know, when the food is over there. So we tolerate all those things. And from the ear, you get this, you know, the eye, there is this wax coming up, ear wax coming up, and the snot and all those things. We tolerate all those things. So we have used to that one, we tolerating and living. So that's what you were saying.
That's the beauty in that thing.
Yeah. Shall we stop for today then?